Podcast, a ministry of Faith Baptist Church in Ontario, Ohio. I'm Pastor Dave Davenport. Today we're studying in the book of Romans, and we're in chapter 6. We trust you'll have your Bible open and stay with us for the next several minutes as we go to the Word. It'll get you from here to home to notice. And when you know it, you begin to say, okay, what have I been looking at? Well, I was a baby and I got baptized. Now, I'm not going to besmirch that. If that's your heritage, I understand. I think it's good that parents were there somewhere saying, hey, listen, let's get them down to the church, and this is our persuasion at this point. And they baptize you. It's sort of like a child dedication I look at. We do child dedication, not child baptism, because no baby was ever baptized in the Bible, anywhere. I defy you to go find it. You won't. It's not there. I've read this book for 40 years. It's not in there. And what we have now is a lot of people trusting in what we might call a birthright salvation. Well, my parents took me to church, I got baptized, and now I'm saved. No. Oh, well, I went through confirmation. Still, not the thing. It's not that. It's trusting in Jesus. It's not just saying out loud, parroting back a bunch of answers that they've scripted you for. It's having a relationship with the Lord Jesus Christ. When I trust Him, I must know what He's done for me. This is why some people can read Romans 10:13, that whoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved, and still not get saved, even though they make a prayer effort. It's because they didn't know the backstory of that verse. First of all, whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. Well, who's the Lord? Well, you got Jesus, you got God the Father. Who am I calling on? They don't know. And they're just kind of stumbling along, and that's fine. But if the evangelist who's telling them about Christ don't drill home the reality of Jesus, then they're doing them a little bit of a disservice to have them say words that their minds are not engaged in. I like what Ryan did with those two young boys at the festival this past week. He went over that thing 5 times. He said, now, what's this and what's that and what's this? And 5 times, man. Yeah, I'm not letting you out of here till you get it right. And they got it right. And then they were able to get saved. I remember one guy who was a preacher, he would say, man, when I'm preparing sometimes, I just don't know what to say. I don't know what to say. And he would pray over and over again, 2 words, Lord, more light, more light. Hunger, thirst after righteousness, that's when you will be filled. It is not osmosis. It is not birthright. It is you coming face to face with the living Christ. The Bible says that we were baptized into His death. Therefore, verse 4, we are buried with Him by baptism into death, that like as Christ was raised up from the dead by the glory of the Father, even so we also should walk in newness of life. Remember my 2 tracks. He's combating the idea that I'll get saved and live any way I like. And He's then telling us some things about what happens in our identification with Christ in reality. I'm baptized into His death, and the intention of God is that we walk in newness of life. And we do. The funny thing is, I've seen people get saved, and when they get saved, it's like right away they have a feeling of freeness and a feeling of weight being lifted off of them. A smile. Even, listen, this is amazing. I've seen people get saved, maybe a tear in their eye, maybe not, but they're thinking, I need to tell my loved one about this. I need to tell my brother or my sister. I need to tell my husband. I need to tell my buddy. One of the things that brought me back to the Lord when I had wandered at one point was I realized we were going on such a trajectory that everything I was doing was facilitating their lostness. And even though I had gotten newness of life, I wasn't walking in accordance with it for a season. And when I realized what I was doing, my eyes were so wide open, I could not sit in dens of iniquity thinking, this isn't important. No, it was very important because the Spirit of God was in me saying, these are your friends and you're taking them to hell? No. I want to step up and I want to be the guy who what? Loves as Jesus loved. The good shepherd gives his life for his sheep. The Bible talks about no greater love hath any man than this, than he lay down his life for his friend. And when we get to seeing Jesus and seeing Him more and more, we become like Him more and more. But it's a process. And that's why in this verse the Bible says He raised us up by the glory of the Father that we also should walk in newness of life. Now, an interesting thing about verse 4 where it says, even so we also should walk in newness of life, is a better translation, is that we might walk in newness of life, which Young's literal uses the word might. The word should is not in there, is my point. But the writers are trying to tell us that because of his argument, this would be a natural thing that we should. The problem with us staying there and not diving in and drilling into a verse is that if we don't drill into it, we don't realize that there's a possibility that we may fumble the ball on our end. You might fumble the ball on your end. The Bible talks about some people who did not add to their faith virtue, and to their virtue knowledge, and to their knowledge self-control, and to self-control godliness, and brotherly love, and adding to brotherly love charity, it says, but it's agape, from brotherly love, Philadelphia, to agape, which means I'm loving other people. And they didn't do this. That's in 2 Peter chapter 1, if you want to look it up. If I don't add to my faith virtue, which is doing good, which is what Paul's arguing for here. Virtue, knowledge, which is doctrine. So if I don't do it, he says over in 2 Peter chapter 1, he says, if you do these things, he says, you will neither be unfruitful nor barren in the knowledge of God in your personal life. So you're going to know him better. He's going to show up better. And it says, however, if you don't do this, you may become short-sighted, even unto blindness, forgetting that you are washed from your sins. So what's the truth? I am identified with his death. I am buried with him. The watery grave represents what I believe. When Jesus was laying dead, listen, here it is. The death penalty that hung over me was satisfied. It should have been me dying. I was under a death penalty. The Bible says the wages of sin is death. And all men have sinned. And all have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. There's none righteous, no, not one. Wages of sin is death. So what's that mean? That means that what happens is that I am under a death penalty. So he died, I was in him. He was buried, it was as if I was in him. I'm identified with him. The baptism is showing us that. And when he talks to us here about being raised to walk in newness of life, we get newness of life. That's a given. The Bible actually talks about the judgment of the believer called the Bema Seat of Christ, called the Judgment Seat of Christ. It's the place where the winners show up. You know, some people, they get the gold medal, and some people, they get the silver, and some people get the bronze, you know. But everybody who's trusted Jesus as their Savior, determinedly, understandedly, with knowledge, you shall know the truth, and the truth shall set you free. When you know it and you own it, then what happens? Salvation. Born again. The Bible says, marvel not that I say unto you, you must be born again. Except a man be born again, he will not enter into the kingdom of God. Listen, this is not to be trifled with. This is real deal stuff, because if we're not born again, well, then we're outside of the faith. We're not saved. We're not children of God. The Bible says, ye are of your father the devil, to the Pharisees he was talking at that time. But if we're not saved, we're not God's children. Not in the sense of salvation. He created us all, and we answer to him as king. But when we're born again, we get to be family. How cool is that? That's why David in Psalm 23, a very popular psalm, the Bible says, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. You know what that means? Not the servants' quarters. I'm in the house. He prepares me a table in the presence of mine enemies. He anoints my head with oil. I'm the honored guest. Why? Because Jesus loves us that much. Do you know what he calls us when we get saved? Not only are we called the church, but we're also called the bride. How much does a man who's getting married love his bride? All things being equal, that's the biggest day in his life other than knowing Jesus. And there's a good day there. And so what I suggest to you is, as we look at the symbol alongside of the reality is I died with Christ when I trusted him, I was buried with him, and God would have me to live a life that is in keeping with this new life he's afforded me. The Bible says in verse 5, for if we have been planted together in the likeness of his death, we shall also be in the likeness of his resurrection. Now the word planted is another one of those words that we would want to drill into just a moment. Because when he talks about being planted in the likeness of his death, I am reminded of that passage in the book of John that talks about, except a grain of wheat fall into the ground and die, it abides alone. It's one of the few places where we're told about planting with regard to our salvation. And it talks about, except a grain of wheat fall into the ground and die, it abides alone. But if it falls into the ground and dies, it brings forth much fruit. You know what God's will for us is? John chapter 15. It is the Father's will that you go and bring forth fruit. And he that bringeth forth fruit, he will prune, and he will bring forth more fruit and much fruit. He says, in this is the Father glorified. Now, I want you to just know something on the front door here. Salvation is about gaining eternity. It's about having our eyes opened up. It's about being raised spiritually from a dead condition in relationship to God to a living condition in His presence. And life could be very deliberately defined for us as being an active, productive force. And that's why being dead in trespasses and sins is a huge deal. Because what happens is if I've never been born again, everything I do as a lost person is commended to everybody I know. If I'm chasing the skirts, if I'm chasing the booze, if I'm chasing the drugs, if I'm chasing the money, if I'm chasing the status and the position as my end-all be-all, I'm telling everybody who watches me, not the least of which my children, that that's the way life is done. And I want to not do that. Because what happens is I compound my own culpability if I'm not right. So I want to be saved. I want to help others. And so love becomes something that cares about other people. And I become fruitful by telling other people, this is the way I found home. And this is the way you need to get there too. You say, well, I've got my religion. You've got yours. Jesus said, I'm the way. Not a way. The way. The truth and the life. No man comes to the Father but by me. That's it. He says there's no other name given under heaven whereby men must be saved except the name of Jesus. He is the mediator. There's one mediator between God and man, the man Christ Jesus. You cannot get in by any old way you want to. It's exclusive. Now, somebody has wisely parsed that in their mind. They say, you know what? For him to say that, he was either a liar or he was a lunatic or he, in fact, was Lord of all. Guess what? When he rose from the dead, he proved he was Lord of all. He said, listen, death and hell are conquered at the cross. I'm going to go there. I'm going to take care of it. And when I rise from the dead, I'm going to show you the water is fine. All of us probably had a friend one time said, yeah, come on, let's go swimming. And the water was freezing. And they jumped in first, bless them. And they're like, no, it's great. It's great. It's really great. You know, they're freezing, but they're not showing. You jump in and you're like, man, you got to be kidding me. My wife took us to this taco restaurant place and she ate one of these peppers and she's so cute and sweet and nice. And we were dating still, so, you know, I was enthralled. I didn't see anything but her. She said, yeah, eat that. It's not hot. It was. It lit me right up. And I just ate that thing and I'm like, oh, man, how hard is it to be cool in front of a girl when you're over here dying and your mouth is on fire? You see my point. Jesus went first. Jesus tasted death. It behooved us that the Lord of our salvation be made perfect through suffering of death. What's that mean? That's Hebrews. It means that he lacked no perfection on his end. Listen, the perfection he lacked was in our perception. We thought, well, he could never know. Job said, oh, that we had a daysman that could argue my cause. He says, I want you to know that I know what you're going through. I want you to know that I was tempted in all points like as you are and yet without sin. Beloved, let me just say to you, Jesus knows. He knows all about your troubles. He knows all about your struggles. He knows all about your pain. He knows all about your hurts and your wounds. He knows. He loves you and he cares about the plight of humanity. And so he dove in. Well, that concludes today's portion of the message. This has been a ministry of Faith Baptist Church in Ontario, Ohio. And I'm Pastor Dave Davenport. I hope you'll join us Monday through Friday for our verse-by-verse studies. And we hope you'll tell others to tune in as well. If you'd like to contact us and learn more about our ministry, go to faithbaptist1.net. You can also download recent broadcasts on our homepage. We hope you'll make it a point to tune in daily as we go to the Word.